Chapter 32, Church. With the first week of September 1923, the dog days of summer had passed, and the people of West Texas were anticipating the relief of cooler days ahead. The Lady Pearls gave Emma Grace a wedding shower, and like always, Harvey and Miss Pearl made it elegant and memorable. The beverage was champagne, and the dessert, Mosella's red velvet cake with vanilla icing. The gifts, however, were different from other wedding shower gifts. Emma Grace received perfume, bubble bath, lovely soft monogram towels, and French lingerie.
I think these gifts are more for Tommy Lee than for you.
The following Thursday, Tex went into Pearl's speakeasy for a cold beer. Maggie took her usual place beside him and gave him a welcoming hug and kiss on the cheek.
Ooh, I love the way that tobacco smells.
Harmony was playing a soft bluesy tune on the upright piano near the table where Ginger and Annabelle were playing cards.
Jen!
Emma Grace spotted Tex and gently touched his arm.
Mr. Tex, sir, I was wondering if, well, you know, sir, my daddy died, and, well, you are kind of like family here. And, Tex, would you be so kind as to give me away when I marry Tommy Lee?
With humble surprise, Tex beamed.
Of course, dear child, it would be an honor. An absolute honor.
Thank you, Tex. Everyone has been so nice. I feel like I have a family.
Tex felt like telling another story to change the mood and resumed drinking his beer. He looked across the bar, where Pearl was sitting doing some paperwork.
Have you ever been to Paint Rock, Miss Pearl?
I do not believe that I have, Tex. Somehow, girls, I think I feel a story coming on.
It was named for a rocky bluff on one of the ranches by the river because the rocks are painted with red hematite, portraying spiritual symbols with special meanings. At one time, this cliff area was sacred ground to the Indians. Pretty amazing place. I've been there before. It's real peaceful out there by the river. That's where I first heard about a woman the Indians call the Lady in Blue.
Sounds like one of the girls I knew down in New Orleans.
Quite the opposite, my dear. In fact, she was a nun.
A nun? Having been raised Catholic, Tex had Pearl's full attention. By now, Betsy, Heather, and Lucy had come in to enjoy Tex's story.
Now, girls, I always tell you, fairy tales usually start with once upon a time, but a good Texas tale always starts with, y'all ain't gonna believe this one.
That's what you tell us.
Well, y'all ain't gonna believe this one either. Logic can't really explain it, so I'm just gonna tell you what I know. Sister Maria, a cloister nun, lived in a village called Agreda in Spain in the 1600s. Cloistered means she never left her convent. People say that sometimes she got so deep in prayer she floated in the air.
Floated in the air?
Katie carrying her gun and Sarah returned from Sarah's shooting lessons.
What are y'all talking about floating in the air? That's crazy.
Harmony especially liked the conversation.
I've heard about that. I think it was Saint Joseph of Cupertino. He lived in the 1600s as well. He used to float in the air when he prayed.
All right, then. Here's something that is even more strange. Sister Maria went into a kind of spiritual trance and somehow crossed the ocean and visited the Indians who lived here. The Spanish call them humanos. Her trances sometimes lasted for 2 or 3 days.
But I thought you said she never left her convent.
That's what's so peculiar. She never did leave her convent. Maria was confused and confided in the nuns she lived with that she was visiting Indians. She told them what they looked like, described the Texas terrain, much different than what she had seen in Spain. Anyway, a bishop in Spain wrote a letter to the Archbishop in Mexico City telling him about Sister Maria and asking him to be on the lookout for any strange occurrences with the Indians that might verify her story. That bishop passed the letter on to Father Benavides, who was in New Mexico. In those days, sending missionaries anywhere was a big deal because they needed supplies and soldiers to protect them. Within a few days of receiving the letter, a group of Humanos visited Father Benavides and told him the lady in blue had told them to find missionaries who would baptize them. Did I mention Maria's nun habit was blue?
Fascinating. Just think of how many months it took in the 1600s for that letter to go from Spain to Mexico City and then on to New Mexico. Even more fascinating is that Humano showed up a few days after Benavides got the letter. Pretty amazing. Harmony, engrossed in the story, closed the lid on her piano.
The story gets even more bizarre. Because of the letter, Benavides sent a few of his missionaries to go with the Indians and check out the Humano story. When they finally got there, over 2,000 Indians greeted them, wanting to be baptized. Two of the Indians were carrying crosses covered with flowers. Turns out the Humanos knew about Jesus and other stories from the Bible. The missionaries were amazed because they knew of no other missionaries had been there before. The Indians told the missionaries they had learned about Jesus from a lady in blue.
That really is a tall tale, Tex.
It truly is, Harmony. The Spanish Inquisition heard about Maria and interrogated her for 11 days.
Did they let her go?
Yes, they did. Benavides later went to Spain and spoke in her defense. Her vision perfectly matched the description of the land and the Humanos, including their tattoos, their flat heads, and a scar on the chief's face. You know how it is said one man's trash is another man's treasure? The Humanos saw the pearls in the mussels from the Concho River as something to throw away and presented the missionaries with a huge collection of pink pearls, whereas the Spanish saw them as a great treasure. The first Spanish mission in Texas was built not too far from here because the Spanish thought they would find a treasure of pink lavender pearls. In fact, that's why they chose the name Concho, which means shell, when they named the river. Before, it had been called the Nueces, after the pecan trees along the river.
That is so interesting. The fact that the Concho River produces such lovely pink and lavender pearls has always fascinated me. Robert sometimes brought me Concho pearls when he visited me in Chicago.
They are beautiful, all right, just like a woman. The longer the mussel stays embedded at the bottom of the river, the more beautiful the pearl. I always have thought women get better with age. Pretty is pretty, but beauty is the whole package. The more a woman has met her life's challenges and has known love, the wiser she is. Just like a Concho pearl, a woman's treasures lie deeply within. Looking into the eyes of a good woman exposes her true essence. The eyes always reveal the beauty of the soul.
That's so nice, Tex. I don't believe I have ever heard you talk like that before.
I like the way you think, Tex. Tex tipped his hat, their eyes communicating an acumen that only comes with age.
Real beauty is all about what's inside a woman's soul.
And real men know it.
Miss Pearl, I have lived a long time. Through the years, I have learned that as women grow older, they become wiser, and their hearts get bigger with age. Anyway, here's something else that is strange about Sister Maria. Her body has never decomposed.
Heather was amazed.
What? How long ago did she die?
1665.
Wait a minute. That's more than 250 years ago.
No way.
I tell you, her body is in a glass coffin at Nagrita, and it has never decomposed. People who visit the convent can see it.
Now that's a story. You're right. It's hard to believe. I think you topped yourself with that one, Tex.
Y'all ain't gonna believe this one. It's a topper, all right.
I love stories about mystics and saints.
According to Maria, she made over 500 visits to the New World. That started when she was 15 years old. The Indians say the morning after her last visit, they awoke to a blanket of bluebonnet flowers spread across the land, a gift from the lady in blue to remember her by.
That is a great story, Tex. Although it is hard to believe, I would like to think it is true. My mother told me stories about saints when I was a little girl. I remember St. Francis of Assisi practiced by location.
Like I said, you can't explain it, but you also can't explain it away.
When the West Texas wind blows through the land, it whistles a song of mystery and intrigue. That evening, Harmony could not stop thinking about Texas' story. She felt as if the wind were summoning her soul. With crescendo and decrescendo, the low moaning sound was like a woman sorrowfully calling for her lost child. Harmony tossed and turned for hours until finally she got up and began to write. An hour later, she had composed the Ballad of the Lady in Blue.
In the great land of Texas, in the dawn of the spring, there's a delicate flower that blankets the plains. It's shaped like a bonnet, so lovely a hue, a beautiful gift from
lovely indeed. It makes me want to go to church.
I would like to go to church.
I used to sing at church.
It is settled then. We will all go to church.
I, for one, think it's a good idea, you girls going to church and all. I like going.
Mozilla, why don't you come with us?
Thank you, Ginger, but I think I'll pass. You might cause a stir, at least to those who know who you are. But if I go with you, that'll only mean double trouble for sure.
The next Sunday, the girls dressed and readied themselves for the Sunday service at a downtown church. Sarah was concerned.
I'm a little bit nervous about this, Miss Pearl.
Katie smiled at Sarah.
You mean nervous like a whore in church?
Remember the woman at the well, girls? Remember how Jesus loved her and spoke to her? We will be just fine as long as we all stick together. The girls looked pretty and fresh in their church dresses. As they were leaving, Mosella gave them a Bible verse to take with them.
Paul's letter to the Romans says, "For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things."
Mosella hugged each girl as she left Miss Pearl's parlor.
"Remember that real Christians have only love in their hearts, ladies. The mean ones are usually unhappy people or have something to hide."
Miss Pearl made sure they arrived early so they could be assured of a seat in the back. "Hold your heads high, girls. Remember, no eye contact with anyone, no matter how well you know them. Church is supposed to be God's house, and in His eyes, you are no less or no better than anyone else in this building." Miss Pearl and her girls entered the vestibule and sat in the last row of the church. All of them looked poised and lovely, like a sorority of schoolgirls with their hats and gloves. An older woman, smiling sweetly, greeted them.
"I do not believe I have seen you here before, ladies. Welcome to our church."
"Thank you very much." Another woman with a grunt and a harumph quickly pulled the friendly woman away. As the congregation sang the first song, softly and tenderly, Pearl sensed Betsy, who was standing next to her, losing control and handed her a handkerchief. By the time they came to the chorus, Betsy was weeping.
"I am so sorry, Miss Pearl. It's just that I miss my family so much. We used to sing this song in church all the time."
Tenderly, Pearl put her arm around her. "Don't worry, sweetheart. Just feel what you feel. We love you, Betsy. That will have to do for now. Grab hold and squeeze my hand when you feel your heart hurting again. I am here for you. We are all here for you." So many times Pearl had heard those same words from Mosella's lips when she had lived in Chicago.
"I am here for you."
They continued to be comforting. Oddly enough, the preacher's sermon was about the story of the woman who was about to be stoned to death.
"They brought a woman who had been caught in adultery to him to test him. The law of Moses commands us to stone such a woman. What do you say?" Jesus stooped down with his finger. He wrote something on the ground. Then he stood up and asked, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he stooped down and wrote again. One by one, they walked away.
Pearl smiled. "I just love the way God works. My girls need to hear this." Pearl had grown up in the Catholic Church and had never heard any of the gospel music sung at the service. On the other hand, Heather, Ginger, and Harmony sang every song without a miss. As the congregation sang the closing hymn, Pearl and her girls slipped out the back door. They had been the first to arrive and intended to be the first to leave as well. On the way home, the girls buzzed with excitement.
"That felt good. Brought back some good memories."
That is all except Betsy, who remained silent. As they reached the front porch, Mosella came outside with a pitcher of tea. Because Mosella reminded Ginger of Mamie, the two women had a special bond between them.
"Sure wish you could have come with us, Mosella. Mosella, what do you think Jesus wrote in the sand to make all those people walk away?"
"I think he simply wrote, 'Thou shalt not kill.'"
"That makes sense."
"That makes the most sense to me."
Throughout lunch, Pearl could feel Betsy was still in pain. This marked the first time since she had come to San Angelo with Ginger that she had admitted she was homesick for her family. Pearl took Betsy's hand. Come with me down by the river, honey, and talk to me about what you have on your mind. Betsy tried so hard to make the men like her. Sometimes she tried too hard and came across as being clingy and even needy. Pearl had known a girl just like Betsy in Chicago.
So many men, they tell her their troubles. She understands, looking for comfort. They hold her tight. The friendly face in the night. Nobody. When she cries, they kiss a lonely goodbye. She gives all her loving at the cost of her pride. Nobody hears when she cries. Sometimes how she got in the game, giving her loving to men with no names. The need to be wanted has made her this way. She's looking for love to stay. Nobody. When she cries, they kiss a lonely girl goodbye. She gives all her loving at the cost of her pride. Nobody hears when she cries. She looks out window. He walks away. She made him happy, if just for today. She looks in the mirror. She wonders why. A perfect time to cry. Nobody hears when she cries. They kiss a lonely goodbye. She gives all her loving at the cost of her pride. Nobody hears when she cries. Nobody hears when she cries.
Oh, Miss Pearl, I have made a mess of my life. I left my family.
Have you tried calling them? Do they know where you are?
No, ma'am. I can never do that. I was so selfish. I really believed the grass was greener anywhere else besides Beckton, Kentucky. I thought I wanted more exciting life than being stuck on a farm.
Sometimes pretty girls get opportunities that seem wonderful at the time, Betsy. Do not see it as if you did something wrong. Instead, try to see it as a lesson learned. Guilt never serves us well. Just forgive yourself and move on. You are already forgiven as far as God is concerned.
Now I know that farm was heaven, Miss Pearl, because there was so much love there. I guess I never realized it before. I miss my brothers and my mama and daddy so much sometimes, it makes my heart hurt. And then there's poor Johnny Wayne. He was so good to me, Miss Pearl. I know I broke his heart. He talked about getting married one day. When I was 10, he carved our names in a big tree and made me a grass ring. It's still in my jewelry box in Kentucky.
He sounds very sweet, Betsy.
He won't want me now. I don't think anyone will ever want me. I left my home because I thought I wanted to see the world, live in style, and wear fancy clothes. I was so wrong. None of it is real if there's no love. Love is the only thing that's real. I surely learned my lesson about that.
Does your family know you are all right? Do they know you are even alive?
No, Miss Pearl. I could never tell them what I'm doing. They would be so ashamed of me. I could never tell them. I'm afraid they'll never want me around them again. They are good Christian people, Miss Pearl, and they wouldn't understand. Am I a bad girl, Miss Pearl? I don't feel like I'm bad in my heart. I didn't know what else to do or where to go. Then when I met Ginger in the train station, coming here seemed to make sense. I had nowhere else to go, Miss Pearl. I couldn't go home. What would I say? I'm damaged goods. Who will want me now?
Betsy fell into Pearl's arms sobbing. There, Betsy. You're going to be fine, I promise. Give it some time. Life has a way of turning around. It always does if you believe. God really is on your side. Always has been. He allows us to mess things up so we can learn our lessons. Believe me, I have had my share. Cry, Betsy. Let it go. You've been holding it back for too long. Pearl hugged Betsy until she felt her pain subside. I have an idea. I believe you should write your parents a letter and let them know you are okay. They are probably worried sick about you. At least they will know you are alive. It is not necessary to tell them what you do here. Just let them know you are safe and well. They deserve at least that. You have nothing to lose. If your parents decide they never want to see you again, you will still be right where you are now. At least this way you will know. We love you, Betsy, but it is different from the love you get with a family. They sound like good people. Let's go inside. I will let you use my best stationery. Betsy sat at the table in the library. After giving it some thought, she wrote,
September 8th, 1923. Dear Mama and Daddy, I hope this letter finds you well. It seems like forever since I have seen you. Please, forgive me for not letting you know where I have been or where I am staying. So much has happened. I just want you to know that I am doing fine and my health is good. I know you must be worried about me. I have found work in San Angelo, Texas, and I am staying with some new friends I have met on my travels. I do not expect you to understand. Just know that I love you, and I think of you every day. Please give my regards to Johnny Wayne and let him know I'm sorry if I broke his heart. I guess that's all for now. I will write again and let you know how I am doing. Love, Betsy.
Betsy asked as Pearl walked into the library,
Should I put a return address on it?
That will take some courage, my dear. Whenever you have a question of the heart, ask yourself, what would love do now? In other words, what would you do if there was nothing to be afraid of? That will be your answer. Betsy put the parlor's return address in the left-hand corner and handed the envelope to Pearl.
Will you please put this with your outgoing mail for tomorrow?
A warmth passed over Pearl's heart. She had never had a daughter of her own. Now she felt like she had 11. Of course, Betsy.
Thank you, Miss Pearl. I feel much better. It's like a huge weight has been lifted.
Betsy gave Pearl a big hug. Pearl felt like the heaviness in Betsy's heart had vanished. After she hugged her, Betsy skipped out of the room like a little girl. As Pearl placed the envelope into the box for outgoing mail, Mosella entered into the room.
You are some kind of lady, Victoria.
I am only soft when it comes to my girls, Mosella. You know how I love my twin boys, but somehow I feel a responsibility to these girls as if they were my own. I really do want them to be happy. Sometimes they seem so vulnerable. I was so much like them at their age. Minna and Ada were always kind to me. There is a strange bond among women who do what we do. It is difficult for women in the outside world to understand us. Thank God I had you in Chicago. Lord knows what would have happened to me.
You knows I love you, Victoria.
Who in the world can that be? It is not even 2 o'clock. Mosella peeked out the window.
Looks like we might have some trouble, Miss Victoria. There are 4 dreadfully unhappy women on the front porch. 3 of them look like they just bit into a lemon.
Let them in, Mosella. I have been half expecting them. Pearl turned to look at herself in a large mirror, then applied fresh red lipstick and primped her hair. This is going to be interesting.